You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's Sunday, the 14th of June, 2020. And boy, are the energies ramping up on the planet at the moment, the way things are. And apparently, we're going into Mercury retrograde as well. So that's going to cause a bit of chaos and mayhem on the planet as well. Anyway, we'll be getting into that later. I'm sure we'll be talking about that. My guest on the show tonight is a lady called Gosher and a chap called Dale Harder. And they're in communication with a Palladian crew. Dale is also an ex-NASA engineer. Talking to Dale and Gosher before the show, they are the crew. They're involved with the crew, the Palladian crew. So that's going to be interesting to talk about later on. In a few minutes' time, as usual, we have a few things to talk about. And I just want to go to the communication channels.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website, circleofwhitelight.com. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/COWLR. And also the PayPal is on the website there. If you like what you hear, by all means, send us a donation. That would be very much appreciated. Thanks to everybody who does that. And also, we have the Pay It Forward on the website now, as you all know. When we have a few extra quid, I allocate the money to Pay It Forward. The people can pay directly to Pay It Forward. And it's only €1 a month. But that Pay It Forward goes in to support local community groups, people and local clubs, like homeless charities and stuff like that. So if you can afford €1 a month or you want to make a donation to Circle of White Light Radio, all the information's on the website there. You can click on PayPal and send over a donation there. Thanks to everybody who does that. Okay, right. Before we get Dale and Gosher on, as usual, there's a few things that I want to touch base with. A few items in the news, and we'll go through them bit by bit there, one by one. IrishTimes.com, it's obviously, they were talking about the COVID, and they're saying the Gardaí, which are the Irish police, that's the name of them over here in Ireland, the Gardaí. The Gardaí lose enforcement powers over movement restrictions. Latest, the provisions do not contain a penal penalty for breaching movement restrictions. Gardaí no longer have the power to enforce the movement restrictions laid out in the emergency coronavirus legislation introduced by the government. As of yesterday, which was the 8th of June, people can travel anywhere within their own county or for up to 20 kilometres outside of the actual county from a previous radius of 5 kilometres. However, unlike previous versions of the regulations, the latest provisions do not mention a criminal penalty for breaching the movement restrictions. I believe that the actual law that they brought in anyway was illegal anyway. So this means Gardaí can no longer arrest or prosecute anyone moving outside the radius. The move to revoke one of the most draconian Garda powers in living memory was made on Sunday with no announcement or publicity. Quite convenient that they don't say on the Irish news that they're actually, you know, taking that law away and people can actually travel. I was down in Dublin myself on Saturday, which is out, you know, way past 20 kilometres. But that's just the way it is, folks. You know, do what you have to do. OceanFM.ie, the actual radio station in Leitrim, a Leitrim councillor hits out at scandalous use of taxpayers' money. A North Leitrim councillor has described as scandalous the state having to meet the shortfall to private toll operators as a result of a drop in traffic volumes during the COVID-19 pandemic. So while everybody was on lockdown in Ireland, obviously people were not using the toll roads, which means that the companies who run the toll roads, because they're private, remember, they're not government, these private companies are going with their begging bowl to the government, and they're saying, we didn't make any money over that time, so we want you to pay us, I think it's about 9 million. It said here, Sinn Féin have received confirmation from Transport Infrastructure Ireland that the taxpayer will have to pay somewhere in the region of at least 9 million to private companies that have witnessed a reduction in commuter numbers since the lockdown. So 9 million of taxpayers' money, which we don't have, as you all know, and yet they want 9 million to actually pay for the toll roads. Sinn Féin councillor Padraig Fallon claims there are many important issues that need investment and prioritisation post-COVID-19. The Manor Hamilton Municipal District Councillor says the funding should go to projects such as public lighting, footpaths and local road improvement schemes. Exactly. So 9 million to private toll road owners. Disgraceful. And of course, we all know that the Irish government will pay it. They'll just bend over backwards and pay it. You know, it's just ridiculous. And the last thing on the list is a website called newsfortrafford.co.uk. And I said here that over 400 doctors in Brussels tell the government to halt the rollout of 5G. 400 doctors. Over 400 doctors in Brussels sign an open letter to the government to stop the rollout of 5G due to safety fears. In the UK, the rollout of 5G continues. We know it's a dangerous technology, and finally we have found a letter representing over 400 doctors in Brussels that was sent to the government that will shock political councillors here in Trafford who believe it is safe. We want an immediate halt to the rollout of 5G. Well, there you go. There's actually a letter out there. If you go over to newsfortrafford.co.uk, they talk about a letter that they found that signed by 400 doctors saying not to release 5G. And of course, like most countries probably in the world, 5G was rolled out while everybody was on lockdown, which is quite convenient. So they're obviously scheming and planning on that one. Okay, just one or two things for this week, for my week. Last week when I went to upload the actual last week's podcast, I ran out of disk space on the usual location. So what I had to do is actually set up a brand new stream, which if you go over to, I'm sure you're on the website now, you'll find that there's now three players on the website rather than two. So you have Circle of White Light, you have Open Your Mind Radio, and you have People's Internet Radio. So the show is obviously broadcast on them three streams. Also the auto DJ, people asked about the auto DJ. Well, what happens is when the show is live, obviously you're hearing me now because the show is live. When the show finishes, there's an option in there called auto DJ, and the auto DJ plays the last four shows that I did on Circle of White Light. So when the live show is finished, you'll start hearing the last four shows, the last five shows. I'll be putting this one up as well on the list, and then it just rotates through the shows. So it's 24/7. So if you've missed shows from the last few weeks, all you have to do is click on the Circle of White Light player, and after the live show, it'll just go through the last four or five shows, so you won't miss them. So you can have a listen to them there. So that's what the auto DJ does. It's something that I was asked to do. So there you go. Your wish is my command. Okay, let's get our guests on and let's talk about these things that are going on the planet, because there's so much going on. And even though the show is only got 2 hours, you know, the interview is only probably going to be an hour and 45 minutes, we could probably fill 4 or 5 hours with the information. But let's get cracking anyway. Right, the two guests that I have on the show. Gosha has a degree in comparative religion from the University of Queensland in Brisbane, Australia. Gosha was born in Poland and now lives in Finland. Since 2017, she, her work partner Robert from Spain, have been in an ongoing live direct writing contact with the Taygeta Pleiadian crew in the orbit of the Earth. She has been sharing all the information coming directly from them at YouTube channel Cosmic Agency and Agencia Cosmica in Spanish. Dale Harder is an ex-NASA engineer and owns two businesses, HHR Lasers Incorporated and HHR Exotic Speakers. He has been in the UFO field for more than 45 years and has had regular visitations by ET crafts. Dale is an officer for Cleveland Ufology Project, CUP, the oldest UFO club and MUFON group in the world. He is an experiencer and has worked with most of the known names in ufology. He has also been in contact with the Taygeta Palladians, along with Gosher and Robert. Well, good evening, folks. How are you two?
Hello there. How are you? Thank you for inviting us so much, Alan.
No problem. Thanks for coming on, Dale.
Hello,
good
Alan.
Evening. Thank you.
How are you?
Great stuff. Thanks for both of you coming on. I know this is your first time being on the show. And some bio, you know, that you have communication with the Palladians. Now, obviously, we're going to get into what that is all about before we get into the subject matter. So, Gosher, I'll go over to you first, because obviously you are in, you also have this communication with Dale, with the Palladians. So tell us about how that happened. How did it all start?
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much again. As I'm assuming that some of your listeners, or I don't know what's the percentage of your listeners that doesn't know us, so it may come as a surprise. But we have been in touch with the Taygetan Palladian crew who are currently in the orbit of the Earth, as well as many other races. There are thousands of races always around, belonging, which something we'll go to later, belonging to the so-called Federation, Galactic Federation, which is very real. Many of them do not belong to that federation as well. So anyway, they have been contacting many people since 2008 through the technology that is available to us, humanity, at this point. Because that is one of the regulations of the Prime Directive, the Prime Law. And that technology right now available to the humanity is the Internet. So they have been channeling before. They have channeled before. Channeling is very, very real. It is a real phenomenon. However, with them being in the fifth density and us currently mostly residing on the third density, there is a lot of interference, and there are a lot of misinterpretation going on. So only a small amount of channelers actually get it right and can communicate the right information. So since the technology of the Internet is currently at our disposal, the Taygetan Palladians have opted for this technology to pass this information to us directly. So this way it's not distorted. Everything that I have in my channel is precise, it's concrete, it's technical, it's scientific, metaphysical, and this way they can pass this information in a much more credible way. So that's what's been happening, and they have been contacting many people since 2008. Most of these people do not share the information. I want to specify this, that we are not the only ones who have been in contact with them. We are not any elected ones or anything like that. They have been in touch with thousands of people. We are just, me and Robert in the Spanish channel, we are just most passionate about this. You know, when we came in touch with them and they started sharing all this information, we got so excited and enthusiastic, and we saw how valuable this information is for the world that we decided to share it. And we happened to have our YouTube channels, so we started to share this information in our channels. I do it in the Spanish channel, Agencia Cosmica, and English one, a Cosmic Agency, and Robert in his Spanish channels, Despejando Enigmas and Red Agartha. And we have been doing this for the last 2.5 years together with Robert, both Spanish and English. We have about a thousand, if not more, videos full of information on all subjects, biology, genetics, science, metaphysics, spirituality, politics, anything. Now I just want to bring it to Dale. Last year, I think it was around May, Dale contacted me through email. He has been watching the videos. He liked them very much, and he just wanted to touch base with me just to say hello. And as he was at that point, he already had the memory of being a Tigetan Pleiadian. So he shared that in his email. I shared this information with the Tigetan crew, and he was brought in contact with them as well. They confirmed his identity. So he's actually a confirmed Tigetan Pleiadian starseed here, part of the Tigetan team. Like we said in our offline conversation, they don't like to be called Pleiadians. They are Tigetan Pleiadians because there are so many races, and there are so many races within Pleiades itself. That's the introduction.
Okay, no, that's right, because we've heard this about the Universal Council. We've had people talk about that before, and there's thousands and thousands of races involved with the council, and obviously the Pleiadians are part of that. Dale, tell us about your experience and how you got involved there.
Well, Gosha had already touched on that to some degree, and it was really very rare. Gosha very rarely has the opportunity to answer emails, but there was definitely some electric connection between us. Now, I have known my entire life that I was Tegetan Pleiadian, and I came with a mission, and I came with full memory, or at least considerable portion of it. So I've known my entire life basically who I was, and was pretty much alone in my mission to try and help humanity and to awaken people. So it was really fortuitous that I ran into Gosha, and we instantly became very close friends. And I didn't even ask, but behind my back, kind of, they deliberated in a council whether or not to bring me in and to reveal to me that I was part of the crew and the team and giving me my database and so forth. And so it all began on May 26th of last year, even though I had been following her sometime before that. So it was probably the most emotional and exciting experience of my life to meet my family and you know, to get to know them and everything. And even though majority of our contact is by computer and live chat, we have done live audio and other things. And so we definitely know that this is a real contact. We have more reasons than we could possibly state for that. So it has been an absolute privilege to be part of the crew and to serve for humanity's sake and for my family's sake. So I'm absolutely thrilled to be here with you and with Gosha, and we'll do our best to answer your questions.
Brilliant. Okay, Dale, appreciate that. Obviously, people are very skeptical, and there's people that still kind of don't believe things like ETs outside of the planet. And they might have tuned in tonight just to be out of curiosity, wanting to hear what's being said. Are you not concerned that with the kind of communication, because there's a very advanced technology out there, there's voice-to-skull technology, and we know there's, you know, you have your CIA, your NSA, and all these agencies out there. What have you done to check the information is genuine between yourself and Gosher? What do you do? What's your process for checking to make sure the information is genuine?
You want to start off on that, Gosher?
Well, yes, I can start. You know, this question has been asked so many times before, and we also have asked these questions ourselves in the very, very beginning, but it was in the very, very beginning stage. We have passed hours of contact with them. It's 2.5 years, and it's daily communication, 4 hours. And you have to understand that when we got introduced to them, at any point did they ask us to share any of this information. So it was given to us completely free, asking nothing in return, with no agenda behind, just fully, freely sharing the information. You know, if it was some kind of a secret agenda behind, you know, we would be approached and probably asked to share this information, maybe with something in return. But it started just like they do it with so many other people around when they spoke to. They just simply share the information. They never even wanted us to share this in our channels. Never did. They just talked to us as friends privately. They spent hours with us, and they have been spending hours with us since that time for 2.5 years. There's absolutely no agenda behind, just freely offering what they know on all subjects. And like I said, it was us who started to share this information. There was no one asking us to do this. And I think this is a very important point, because who would be wasting so much time and so many resources and so many people? Because we are not just talking to one. We are talking together. We spoke to maybe 16 of them in the crew, and all the stories are always the same, are always logical, are always coherent. The information that I got 2 years ago fits with another detail that I'm getting from another person 2 years later. So it would have to be very, 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 very well planned in order to pull something like this with very little effect, very little results, because we are still very relatively small. The cabal has better ways to manipulate the public and manipulate the masses than spending 3 years, hours and hours and hours with little YouTube channels, without even having a guarantee that this information will be shared, because we never, like I said, were asked to share this information. So, you know, like I said, they have more, they have money and they have resources to manipulate the public and the population in a much better, more efficient ways than giving the information to few YouTubers. This is just one of many reasons why we know this is real. Dale, if you want to add to anything to this.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I'd like to add, of course, that we don't do this because we make any money at it at all. We don't sell books. We don't have CDs or DVDs or anything at all. All the information that is given freely. Our time, our effort, and especially from our family. Goja works tirelessly 24/7 to put out these videos and information, and it just keeps flowing. There is so much. Now, over this time, I'll add to that is that the crew and the people that we talk to, they are emotional, just as we are. Each one has a very specific personality, and I will also state that because of who we are, Goja, myself, and Robert, that we do have considerable, if you want to say, intuition or psychic abilities. We do have that. And we have even made games and tests where they would come on and pose as other people, and we had to try and figure out who they were. And it's very easy. Their personality comes through. We feel them. We hear them. We sense them in every way. And this adds to the validity, if you will, of who they are. AI, for example, is live and well on the internet, but it does not have the capability to pose in so many ways as our family does. So you know the moment you speak with them, if they're sad, if they're happy, what's going on, and so forth. And so this is also one of the very special reasons that we know that they're real. We have seen their actual pictures, which we will not share. We cannot share. We've seen other information that gives us validity as well. So there's a great deal that we have that we know that they are real people.
Okay, well, that's good.
If I can just add one more thing that just occurred to me. When you study this information, when you look at all the videos, you'll see that there is no specific agenda that supports any specific political system. So there's nothing there that ties them to any specific country or any specific political party or any specific agenda of that sort. They're actually very, very passionate about exposing the secret agendas. They talk about all the dangers of the 5G and all that, and so much more. So you can see that they are very neutral, very, 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 very analytical of what's going on Earth, but not attached to any specific support, you know, politically. They are just offering this information free. And you can see it's very empowering. You know, it's very highly spiritual, and it awakens you. It awakens us to what's going on behind the scenes and within us as a spiritual soul.
Okay. And you say that they communicate over the internet. Tell us about how the communication works. How did they do the communication? Is it, I mean, I don't know, is it through email or is it through a Skype or what way do they do it?
Yeah. Okay. So I can explain that maybe. Dale, if you want to add a little bit more of the technical part, because I am not technically inclined. They are actually using on their side, they have a holographic technology, and it's actually in detail explained in one of the videos. And I will explain it actually more in one of the future videos about the holographic computers that they use, the holographic quantum technology that is actually nothing compared to what we understand quantum technology to be. That's going to be in the near future. So they are using these holographic computers, but later it actually has to translate to the digital computer. So they are actually using digital computers in order to connect to us. So then it connects to the satellite and like I said, technically, I'm not so aware of the specifics, but that's how it works. And then it's not through the email; it's a live communication. It's a live chat. So we are using one of the live chat softwares available. We don't want to say which one, but that's one of the softwares available. And so this is how. Sometimes we have organized meetings. For example, tomorrow at 6. And we meet and we talk about specific subjects, but many times they come online at any point of the day and night. And we have to basically be available at any point. Well, we don't have to. They never impose anything. That's another thing. They are very respectful, never imposing. And they always want to make sure that what we are doing is of our own free will.
Okay. No, that's good. I get this impression that when you're saying that they communicate on your computer system through their quantum system, you know the movie The Matrix, where Neo wakes up and he sees the text being typed on the screen.
Yes.
I just got that picture in my head. Dale probably a bit more techie. Do you want to tell us a bit more of the technical side, Dale?
Well, like I said, Goja had mentioned, they do use some extremely advanced quantum computers, and they are not based on silicon or chips or things. They are actually intelligent AI. They are self-aware. They have personality, etc. But unlike us, with our AI here, which is more malevolent, if you will, and is kind of controlling us, they interact. Their computers and their quantum technology is part of them. Their ships are living entities, and the computers are as well. And so they live and cooperate together. They're not transhumans or anything like that, but each of the quantum computers uses a miniature particle accelerator as part of their chips. So the idea of quantum computing as humans have it has just barely begun to scratch the surface and is mostly related to entangled particles, one up, one down, etc. They're far, far, far beyond that. They're well over 800,000 years in advance of our technology.
God, that's
so what they do is they dumb it down to contact us through our own computing systems, and they typically will contact or communicate through muon beam technology. They connect to our satellites, which then connect to various servers that they can pinpoint throughout the orbit.
Okay, that's very interesting from a technical point of view. 800,000 years, that's phenomenal. So here we are in 2020. Gosher and Dale, 2020 vision. We're going to see everything being exposed. Everything's coming to the surface. People are beginning to see it. There's massive red pilling going on to, similar to the Matrix when you talk about the red pill. So loads of people, and I get this. People say to me, I have family members who I never thought would wake up, and are waking up now and asking questions. So and we're going into the Mercury retrograde, which is even going to be more chaos. We know the human frequency is off the scale. We have these energies that are ramping up to the end of July. So can you tell us both what's coming down the line? What's planned for this year?
Okay.
That's loaded.
Yeah. Before we start answering this question, I just want to say one more thing to your listeners. Because in our off time before we started, you said something interesting. And you said that some of your listeners might be skeptical. They are not always totally, on board with these extraterrestrial subjects. They are not aware of what's happening outside. I just want to say this. Get over it. They are there. There is more humanity out there than we have ever imagined. And whether we believe them, whether we believe it or not, it's not going to erase their existence. They are there. It's a fact. We are over the face of questioning whether we are alone in the universe or not. They are there. Like I said, it's not going to erase them. They are just there. And sometimes they are very close to Earth. They are just like, how many kilometers? 480, Dale, kilometers?
Yeah, roughly 307.
Yeah, it changes.
307 miles.
Yeah, this is the time, like you said, of the transformation and of revelation of many of these things. And this is one of these facts. So, I would just say to many of those skeptical people, just get over it. So let's move on with the information. This is not about whether this is real or not, but this is about the information. We are, like I said, we are past this stage where we are just starting to understand that there are extraterrestrials out there. They are there. So with this out of the way, I would just, going back to your question now, is I would say that it's not as easy to explain this in a short way, and it's not as black and white. And a lot of things depend on the collective and on the humans and on the individuals. The coins, as they always say, are still in the air. There's a lot of things happening. We can go into that galactic wave and the energies and the Schumann resonance, if you want, later in details. Because actually, me and Dale had the conversation with Aneka about this specific topic last night. So I actually prepared a little text with what she said about this, about the galactic wave and how this affects the ascension and the awakening. Yes, you will have to be a bit more specific with your question because it is so huge. And there's so many possibilities here.
Okay, so let's get into specifics then. Let's talk about the waves. I've had about three different people talk about these incoming waves coming in, and they're going to apparently accumulate till the end of July. That seems to be the focal point, the end of July. These waves are coming in, and they're obviously doing something to the planet. They're maybe obviously raising the frequency in some way. Tell us a bit more about that.
Okay, so Dale, if you don't mind, let me just share with Alan and with the listeners what we were speaking about yesterday with Aneka, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Because that's very relevant and that's very interesting, because I did ask her, even though we did the videos about that before, but I did ask her again because I knew you would like to know about this more, about the solar flash and those waves and the Schumann resonance.
Yeah.
And this is what she said. The energy is basically coming from the center of the galaxy. And here I'm reading. This is exactly as she said. This is why these transmissions and this communication is so great, because there's no distortion. I'm not changing any words. This is direct word for word what she said. So the galaxy gives off natural spiral-shaped waves hundreds of light years across. They are as large as the visible arms of any galaxy. But as they are mostly high vibration energy, they move a lot faster than the observable spiral arms of the same galaxy that are or reside in lower densities of matter. So as they move faster, they catch up with the matter parts where the solar systems reside, and they impact the whole system temporarily, increasing their frequency. A sun is the energetically most sensitive part of any solar system, obvious to say, so it reacts to the incoming wave a lot stronger than the other components like the planets. So the sun acts much like a relay station that aligns temporarily with the incoming frequency wave, sending off its own waves in turn in the shape of solar wind. solar wind. This is why people confuse solar activity with the incoming high-frequency galactic waves. And I would call them galactic high-energy spiral waves.
Okay.
Those galactic high-energy spiral waves are part of the galaxy itself, part of its energetic matrix and harmonics, also seen as high-frequency gravity waves. Now, when this energy is coming, they can be literally felt in their ship as a storm. The whole ship starts to I'm not sure, Dale, if it starts to shake, but it's definitely heard on the hull of the ship, and it's explained here. It's gravitational, but they are mixed, meaning that they are not pure. See them as a wave of dirty water, dirty gravity, because as they are gravity, and what gravity is also explained in detail in one of our videos. Amazing information about what gravity is. Anyway,
yes.
Because as they are gravity, they are charged with all kinds of particle rubbish piggybacking the wave itself. Sometimes even dust and small stones, but mostly particles of all other kinds. This is what impacts the ships, making the distinctive hail on the hull. The shields, because they have shields, help a lot, but these waves, and this is interesting, but these waves come in a scalar way. Now, scalar way, in their terminology, they always use that word, it means multidimensional. Scalars, my multi-density. So these waves come in a scalar way, meaning multiple densities at once. So some particles and garbage sometimes do penetrate the shields, causing damage to ships. Now, I'm asking here, what effect does this wave have on a human mind and consciousness, and does it relate to humans ascending? So she's saying it causes a sudden increase in density. And as the density is higher at that moment, any creature inside the wave can perceive things that usually are beyond its natural capacity, causing a memory of the event, or maybe a flash memory of something beyond the physical life, that in turn, wanting to explain it, causes an interest in advancing consciousness, meaning the subject awakens.
Okay, so let me just stop you there. Yeah. Are you saying that these energy waves are going to have an effect on the people on the planet and activate certain abilities that they have, which were dormant?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And it explains here in the next paragraph. She says this, see this as a temporary cosmic ayahuasca or peyote event that returns to normal later on, meaning it doesn't awaken the subject permanently or only artificially, so to speak, causing an interest in the subject to know more. And in turn, that will have a permanent effect. See it as a sneak peek into another density.
That sounds to me like you're getting people interested in the subject they're not interested in, which explains why we're getting global red pilling. That it's people are beginning to wake up who we would never thought they would wake up. Yeah.
Yes. And this wave, it hits and then it withdraws. It says it never lasted more than a few days on each event. And you see this as a Schumann resonance indicator. I'm reading here. You see this in the Schumann resonance indicator that spikes and then returns to normal. So that's why when you see the Schumann resonance higher, it's usually when these waves are hitting, and it's very recommendable to meditate or do all kinds of spiritual activities in that moment, because it gives you higher perception and higher awareness, and you can have more insight into this phenomenon. And that's why, yes, people get interested in subjects they never were before, especially during those high wave moments.
Okay. Dale, do you want to add to that information?
Well, it's pretty complete, and it was very fortuitous that Sister Annika and I and Goja happened to discuss this just last night or before the meeting here in the show today. She's pretty, like I said, pretty complete there technically and so forth. What I might add is that you literally could use the Schumann resonance as an indicator, if you will, like a meter or a frequency indicator to tell us when these events are happening. What one must also recognize is that during those events, not only are people affected, but animals, the planet itself, which is a living entity, as well as our sun, which is a living entity. And during these events, many of the flares and cycles on the sun can be observed. So it is impinging on and affecting the entire solar system and everything that it touches. So for those moments, there is definitely a raise. Now, once the frequency raises, it may return very close to normal, but does not necessarily always return to the prior. It may remain slightly above, and each time it may remain slightly higher. So in this manner, we are growing. We are ascending. Ascension, I would like to add, is not a group effort. It is individual. And each individual will ascend according to their abilities, their attitude, their frequency, their gifts, etc. So when you are finally awakened and reach that point, ascension is then possible. But it's not something that you go out and do, and it's not something that a whole group of people are going to achieve at once or that kind of thing. It is an individual experience.
Okay. What do you have any timelines? Were you given any timelines when this individual experience may happen to the people?
It's happening now.
Yeah. Yes. I just want to say this. Okay, 2 points. And I'll then answer the question about the dating thing. About the wave. It is happening, and it is worrying the cabal and the deep state and the controllers. That's why they are resorting. They are resorting to things like 5G and chipping and HARP because they want to reduce the frequency of Earth. And as well as they are getting more and more resourceful with all kinds of false flag events, including COVID-19 false flag. So they know this is happening. They know it's inevitable, as you said also in the off time. They know this is something that is happening to us. And they are crumbling. The game is crumbling. So now about the dates, they are it's very tricky because, like Dale said, it's not something that happens to us as a mass collectively. It's individual and also it's very subjective, and also it depends still on so many factors, and there's also so many timelines here involved. Our main contact, who is Zvaru, she is actually timeline expert and a time traveler. And she has a full expertise on how timeline work. And she's always specific about not being able to give dates like that, because this is not how timelines work. There cannot be, predictions cannot be done this way, because every decision that we make individually, collectively, it's affecting all those timelines all the time, every day. It's like a living moving entity. So they never gave us any specific dates. They don't like that.
Okay, so but are we talking about like 1 year, 10 years, 100 years?
But what? In 10 years?
Well, you know, what? A lot of people who have been awake for a long time and have been involved in this, trying to wake people up and, like, you know, doing radio shows or YouTube videos or doing seminars and talking to people and who've been awake for a long time, a lot of people say, I'm getting very tired now. We've done this for so long. You know, and it's just getting to the stage now that just people are saying they're getting fed up with it, because there's so many people, you know, we hear an awful lot about good news, that's, you know, things that are going to happen in 2020 and all that. And, you know, even the energies now that I said about, it seems to be the end of July. Now, what I was kind of told was that things were supposed to happen in December, but they've been fast forwarded to the end of July because there's so many things going on. So whatever was going to happen in December has now been put forward to the end of July. And also through other QHHT people I've interviewed, they've said that July and August seem to be big times for a lot of change to take place. But I'm not too sure what that's going to be in detail, because we hear an awful lot about the 5D, the 3D and the 5D, the frequency change. And as Dale said there about, you know, people being, it's an individual thing for ascension. And, you know, we talk about service to others over the 51%. And if you vibrate in that frequency, the numbers we were given were between 5 and 15% of the people on the planet who are ready for that change to take place, for that shift to take over. And then there's the people who will never wake up. You know, they just won't wake up, and that's just, they're not ready for it. And then that frequency will carry on a lower level, that which is the 3D. What have the Pleiadians said to you about that?
Dale?
If I may add to that, I would first like to express that every person is indeed, or in fact, their own timeline.
Okay.
And it is we who decide to either intersect or intermingle our timelines with others, in which case there may be a nexus. Okay, so as far as the ascension process, it is the very thought itself of expecting a date or a time or always looking to the future that prevents the possibility for the actual ascension. Ascension for each individual is when that person decides. When you decide to ascend, when you decide to wake up, when you decide to follow the path, it will then occur. But if you're always placing a timeline on it or a date or something like that, you're always putting it into the future, and that's not something that arrives. Yeah. You have to remember that our family operates in a non-linear time format. We operate in what we call linear time. They don't. They see past, present, and future simultaneously. And their time frame, even in near-Earth orbit, is different than ours. So their speed is different. Their time for orbit is different, and so forth. It is strictly a mind and soul controlled thing. So always trying to place a timeline on it or a date or, oh, this is going to happen on this day and this, that is the very thing that actually can prevent it from happening.
Okay.
And also, Alan, how would you define ascension? Because the answer also depends on how you define that word.
Well, exactly. But the ascension for me would be to go to a singularity regarding the 5D energy, and where it's that higher kind of love frequency, where, and you're with like-minded people on that frequency. There's no duality, there's no negativity, and people are there who are there to help each other and support each other. And it's just the 5D frequency and energy. That's what I would, you know, that's what I would call it. And, you know, until I see that happening, then we're on the 3D, which we have duality, and we are seeing an awful lot of what's going on there with the deep state and the cabal and what they're trying to do and roll out the false flags. And we know that it's pointless, because these energies are going to hit the planet regardless, and people are waking up and seeing it. But as Dale said there, well, you know, we are in kind of linear time because we're in 3D, and that's the way we think. Now, if I said tomorrow, I'm ready to ascend, I want to go there, will it happen for me? I don't know.
You see, yeah, that's why I asked this question, because many, many people associate ascension, you know, with our civilization becoming interstellar, becoming a full Federation member, interacting with extraterrestrials, driving spaceships and all that, going to other planets. But if that's the type of the ascension that you are thinking about, then maybe I'm not sure how fast that may come. But if we are about the Tegetans, and especially Svaru, who is actually higher than 5D consciousness, she is actually a starseed, even for the Tegetan Pleiadians from above. She's always teaching us how the ascension, how being from a higher density is actually a state of mind. It doesn't matter where you are, you can manifest and you can be 5D or higher density. This is what you are, with what you perceive. Your state of your frequency and your state of consciousness depends on how much you can integrate within yourself, and how much of the frequency you can integrate within yourself, and with that you can manage. You can be in a different reality. So you can be in Venus and still be 3D, because 3D is your state of mind. But you can be 5D on Earth, even within the official 3D reality. So that's very, 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 very important. As she always says, Zvaru, we are not limited here on Earth. Even though we are under the Van Allen belts that are actually the official 3D matrix confinement, but what makes us 3D is our state of mind. But we as souls are not limited to any specific dimension. Our consciousness is beyond that, and it's multi-density, and we can be that at any point, at any time. And the problem here is that we have many people, and many of us could be in different Ds, just mingling together, like Dale said, and being in different timelines.
That's fair enough. I think you're right. I think a lot of people have moved away from a lot of family and friends who are not vibrating on the frequency. And I think that's one of the things I've said before in the show, is that you meet people who are, you know, they're not on the same frequency as you, and you just don't want to be around them because they're just not that on that frequency.
Yes.
You want to be with people on a higher frequency. And one of the things that was said to me, and I don't know whether you guys can confirm it, was that we're actually on 5D now, but what we do is we choose to see people in 3D, but there are people in 3D who can't see us. And that's and a lot of people experience that by maybe somebody bumps into them or they don't see them. And all this, and this has happened. People have shared their experience and said that to me, that, and it's happened to me as well. You get ignored, or people walk into you or whatever, because
yes,
they just don't see it, because maybe you're just vibrating on a higher frequency than they are.
And that's very true. And as they always say, the lower density can perceive, the higher density can perceive the lower density, but the lower density cannot perceive the higher density, or even understand the higher density. So yes, as you are raising your frequency and you are becoming more 5D and beyond, by the way, don't limit yourself to just 5D, you're aligning yourself more and more with the reality that's going to reflect that. Because as she always says, your exterior reality is always and always will be the reflection of your inner reality and your perception. And perception is frequency. Or the other way, I don't remember exactly, but it's definitely right what you are saying. And for example, I have a perfect example of this. I don't know how this happened, but we were actually living in Spain, me and Robert. I was in Spain for 8 years. In March, me and Robert, we came to Finland on vacation, and we were supposed to be here only for 1 month. And this is when all this coronavirus happened, and we actually got stuck, let's call it that way, in Finland, and we can't return to Spain. And actually what's happening now, Spain is the epicenter almost of all this chaos. People cannot walk on the street freely. You have to wear a mask. We are in Finland where none of this is happening. I have no idea what happened, but somehow our reality reflected perhaps our frequency. I don't know, but it's definitely how it works. Here people are free, people are smiling, no one is talking about the virus, people are relaxed, well, everything is open, well, until 11 o'clock, but still. And we somehow aligned ourselves with a different reality. We left the other one behind, and all our friends are in Spain suffering there. So what's happening? You see what I mean? It's
yeah,
very complex.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier on the show about the Prime Directive, and I know that we've been told in the past that they cannot interfere because of the Prime Directive. We caused the problem, so we have to fix the problem. But we were also told that the reptilians were actually involved in changing the planet and bringing it down to a negative level. So the problem that we've come across is that it's not that we want the ETs or the Pleiadians to come in and help us change the planet. We know we have to fix the problem. But if we go into a gunfight with a knife, that's not really fair, considering the reptilians we know have been involved and they've been instrumental in causing the issues on the planet on very high levels, because obviously I've been talking to a few people who know about this firsthand. So when you're speaking to your crew, your Pleiadian crew, could you not ask the question and say, well, listen, there's people down here on the planet that want to make a difference and want to change things, but they're feeling defenseless because the elite seem to have all the cards. Can you not help us out in some kind of way? Dale, I'll throw that over to Dale and let Dale come in there.
Well, I'd like to start off by saying that a lot of the stuff with the reptilians has been greatly overblown. They are somewhat of a human creation. We believe in them. We created them. We therefore have manifested them. But they are not truly in as much control as one would believe. They are not the bane or evil that everyone believes. They are just a small portion of it. Essentially, they have been eradicated, but what they have done, and I will say that there are some good reptilians as well, but essentially what has happened is that all of that issue has been basically put aside. It is human belief that they are in control that gives them the opportunity to put their agenda, if you will, into play. They cannot just do it willy-nilly, and everything that is done to us, is whether it's cabal or reptilian or otherwise, is always put out in movies and books and information, and people tend to go, oh, look at that sci-fi, isn't that nice? But it's not. It is the information that is always given to avoid karmic ties and problems for them, not for us. So as long as we accept these things and allow these things to persist, they will continue. They are of human making. We have created them, we've manifested them, and we allow them to continue. When we stand up and say enough is enough, they will stop. It will cease, but not before that time. And this is the part that most of my friends and people here in humanity are having the great issue with. They still cannot quite grasp that humanity is creating its own problems, and a lot of it is being perpetrated on us from other realms. And that's a whole nother ball of wax. But humanity needs to do this on their own. They need to wake up. We need to stop allowing others to act upon us. It's a loophole, if you will. Okay, we didn't just say go out and do this, and they did it. It's that we're very good at creating and manifesting our reality here, as well as anywhere else, okay? And 3D and 5D are definitely here. But as long as people persist in the belief that they are being controlled and that they are allowing this, they will use that as a loophole and put their agenda on top of it. But they don't really have the kind of control that people give them credit for. That pretty much has been eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the deep state at the moment, the way things are, I think people are beginning to realise that they're throwing everything at humanity at the moment because they're on the last legs. And they are trying everything, but people are beginning to wake up and see the flaws, see the problems, see the mistakes that they're doing and the narrative they're trying to put out there. People are not falling for it. What's your take, Dale, on the whole 3D, 5D frequency change or frequency shift? Do you believe that will take place for the people? Because, you know, I've talked to people about this, and we've talked about we have to go from the child mind to the adult mind. You know, and if everybody on the planet had an adult mind, society and humanity would be so much better, because the adult mind is humility and wisdom. But I reckon it's probably going to take us another 100 years to get to that. Now, with everything that's going on regarding the shift, you know, as I say, there's a number of people have said about this between 5 and 15% of this frequency shift. And the QHHT people are coming in and they're saying they're getting information through saying the same thing, that this shift is going to take place. What's your take on it with the information you've got from the Pleiadians?
Well, first of all, I would like to mention, and I think this is okay, Goja, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a very good possibility that my little sister Swaru and Sister Annika are listening as we speak. But anyway, as far as that shift, I think that there are many, many people here that are in the midst of this process. And as I said, it is basically a change in your thought patterns. It is a change in your daily cycle, your routines. People here are caught up in the Babylonian money magic system, for example. Eat, sleep, work, and we're held down and kept down. Everything we say, everything we do is a command for manifestation. And that which we concentrate on is what we will achieve. So if I'm constantly saying out loud, oh, gee, that's a pain in the ass, or, oh, gee, I'm upset with this or that, that's what I'm going to manifest. So every time, and I have to catch myself, in fact, all the time, every time I say or do anything, I have to stop and go, what am I manifesting? And this is the rule that controls. What we concentrate on is what we will achieve. We are fed negativity. We are fed false flags. We are controlled by media. We are given our edict every single minute of every single day, and therefore every individual is concentrating on those things. Now, if you're concentrating on the news and it's war, if you're concentrating on the coronavirus, which was then changed to COVID-19, meaning a covert operation, then you're thinking about those things and you're proliferating it. The distancing and the mask thing is designed to elicit fear. It is designed to allow people to be afraid and to accept vaccines and chips much more readily. It is not a real thing. It is a waste of time. It does not protect you 99% of the time. So those kind of things are things that have been perpetrated on us and humanity. We're being like the sheep and the cattle. We're being led to slaughter. Okay, so we're concentrating on that. Oh, I got to wear my mask. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. We got to wake up and say, wait a minute. What are we manifesting? And when we change that, it will change. So thinking 5D is what creates 5D.
Yes.
And there are many here in that process. And many are also experiencing changes. Like you might see something out of the corner of your eye. You might see a craft. You might see all different kinds of things going on. You might see the balls of light or the spherical ship or even passing through your house, the orbs. You can see all kinds of things, and you are aware of more things. And those flashes are, again, when you are entering in and out of 5D space. So think in 5D, and you achieve 5D. It becomes a normal practice.
Okay.
Yes, I just have to add something to this. It's very important what you said, very important what you said there, and it's something that actually they always stress. Remember, they are actually very against many of these new age ideas. They are not like, you know, the new age ideas that actually a century is something that we are waiting for and it's something that will happen to us as an exterior event, something happening to humans. No, it's the humans becoming the ascension. You must be a 5D and above person. And we have the video about how to be a 5D person. It's not something that will happen to you. You must be it yourself.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree on that. This is why we talk about service to others. And 51%, you have the right, intention. And that's the whole idea behind it. And this is why I've mentioned that on the show, before on various guests that have come on. It's not, as you say, it's not going to happen. It has to be in your mind. You have to change your way. You have to change who you are and be service to others. And well, service to all as well. You have to take care of yourself as well, but service to others and have to do it with the right intent. And if you do that, then you're on your way to 5D. And this is the whole, again, I mentioned it just now about the child mind and the adult mind. And, you know, it's all about why the nanny state is there. The nanny state is there because there's people out there that have a child mind and they need a mommy and daddy, and the government is the mommy and daddy. And when you stop having that child mind and you become an adult, that's taking personal responsibility for yourself.
Yes. And that's exactly what they're trying to tell us. That's exactly what they're trying to tell us. Free us from the governments, from the external authorities, from religions, from even scientific religions, and, you know, trying to make us stand on our own. And that's why they are also not revealing themselves, and they are not going to reveal what they are doing and their help. Because you were asking in a previous question about why can they help us and all that. They are, and they have been. They are very active. They are very active, sometimes putting their life at risk. They are, for me, they are like heroes. But Tibetans play aliens, okay?
Yeah, they do that daily.
They do that daily, but they will never allow humans to know about their involvement with the Earth. And here I am talking about all of the extraterrestrials. Because humans are supposed to wake up on their own and take credit for their actions. They are not supposed to know that they have the protectors out there and the controllers, that's another subject, who are behind their backs. They must take the credit. So even if the Tibetans or other benevolent races are doing anything to help the humanity, they will always make it so the humans take the credit for what happened.
Okay, that's very humbling of them to do that. But then again, if they are kind of 5D beings and higher, then that would be a second nature to them. I'll just say to everybody in the chat room, if you have a question for Gosha or Dale, just make sure you put a Q or question before it so I can see it on the chat room. And then obviously we put it on the list of questions. We do have a couple of questions that have come in. And I suppose it's a question that a number of people would be asking. So thanks to Ramos for actually asking that. And he said, question/invitation. He wants to invite the Targeta crew to visit me here in, he's in the Azores, at my place. You're welcome. Thank you. So he obviously is asking the crew to visit him. And I'm sure people who are listening to the show will say, how can we get involved with the crew? How can we become part of the crew? How do we find out if we are already? I mean, maybe we are part of the crew, but we don't know about it.
That's true. Well, first I would say take a queue and stand in line, because I'll be the first one who I already invited them many times to have a, you know, physical encounter somewhere and a meeting, and so far we're not allowed that. At this point, we had the audio connection with them, but yeah, it would be definitely lovely to have a face-to-face encounter. And how can they get involved? I would say just becoming informed more and more about what's going on. I mean, if it's through our channel, but through other sources as well, we have so much information that they share. So becoming informed and empowering yourself, because as you empower yourself, then you are performing your mission. You know, people are always asking, what's my mission? Why am I here? You are the mission, as they always say to us. You are the mission yourself. We are here, secret operatives from higher realms, on this task to help the humanity, to help the humans. Not always is it even necessary to do anything specific. Just being here is the mission. We are serving here as antennas. So let's not undervalue of our presence, physical presence on Earth. So you are helping. And those who are listening and who are tuning in with this information, you are probably part of the crew, if not Tibetans, others. And there are many, many, many races out there. So be proud of yourself.
Yeah, well, as Dolores Cannon actually said on one of her sessions, they said when the call went out from the Earth that they needed people to come down to help Earth go through this transition, she said only the best of the best were selected to be on the planet. So anybody who's listening to the show and on the planet and knows that they're here to do a mission and they're down here to do a job, fair play, you've done the right thing, and you've been selected as a top crew member. So well done on that one. Right, let's go over to the questions there. Jim wants to know, I'll show this over to Dale and then you can have a go at answering that, Gosher. Dale, Jim wants to know, can they physically help you with health issues and such things like that?
They actually could if it was permitted. However, they choose not to most of the time because, and even for us crew members, because they feel that it would be an infringement on our right or that it possibly could change what our mission is here in some fashion, and they do not wish to impose in any way, shape, or form. As we said earlier, in all the time that Gosia and I have been in touch with them, never once have they ever asked us for anything. In fact, most of the time, even as crew members, we have to beg them to let us serve or help them. So it is never a question of they're looking for anything in that way. I, too, at my particular time, I have overstayed my welcome, if you will. I've been on the planet longer than I had anticipated. I was originally supposed to be here about 40 years. I asked to stay longer, and I'm now 65. But I was told that my body would begin to burn up and fall apart from the inside out and that no medical would be able to help me. And that is the case. Now, they could easily take me to the ship, put me in a med pod and fix me, but or give me a whole brand new body, whatever I would desire. The problem is that I cannot come back once I do that. So I choose to stay a little bit longer before extraction. And, you know, and to serve as long as I can in that fashion. But they will not intervene, you know, unless it is of an absolute dire nature. And then I'm not even sure that they would do it then. And I would like to add a little bit on that previous question regarding the contact. Gosia and myself and Robert, you have to remember, people, we love you all. And we are so thankful that for your emails and your interest. But we've received thousands of emails and people asking us to put them in contact. There are just a few of them in the ship, and they are just not able to have contact with everyone. We're fortunate that we do, but as crewmen, you know, I have my crew number, my database, I have my actual name, my parents' name, where I was born, everything I know, and even we have difficulty with being able to see them in person. That will probably only happen at extraction. But in any case, we thank people for asking. We wish it was possible, but it just isn't.
Okay, that's Gosia, do you want to add to that?
To your question about healing physically?
Yeah, the healing, just what Jim said there. Can they physically help you with health issues and such?
They could, but they are not allowed. They are not allowed. Like Dale said, it's that they are not allowed to interfere with our life's paths. So they are so careful about that, extremely careful about that. You know, even when we started to share this information in our channel, I actually was doing interviews in my channel before, and I offered to share this information, and they said, no, but what about your interviews? We don't want to divert your path, like, of your channel. It's just so sensitive, like, so, yeah, emotional about that, about not diverting us from our life's path. So physically healing, they could do that. They have a technology, which actually we will also share about that, about the medical pod technology where they can heal. But it's not something allowed to be used. Like I said, also, they can only allow the technology that is available to humans at this point. And so,
but we know they have hidden technology. We know that they have the med bed because I did an interview with Randy Kramer a few years ago, and Randy was off planet, and Randy said that they have the med bed technology where you go in and you get healed, and if your arm's blown off, it'll regrow.
Yes,
so the elites have that, and they showed us that technology in the movie Elysium. So why can't we, with all this hidden advanced technology that we know they have, when is this all going to be released? Because, you know, anti-gravity and all that.
It's because it cannot be released before the cabal is not eliminated from the earth. Because if it falls into the wrong hands, it can be used in the wrong negative way, not for the benefit of the humanity. So first, it has to be cleared of the negative influences. And also, even though this technology is available, some of the free energy is available as well, and we have videos about that also. It gets suppressed. It gets, you know, it becomes dangerous to talk about certain stuff. So the negative influences of the cabal, as they say, need to be removed first. You know, that's what's happening. It's part of the process, removal of all the trash and moving into the new phase. I believe it's going to be available, but it's not going to be available to the public officially yet at this point.
Okay, and is Trump part of this cleanup process with the deep state? Was he selected to do the tidy up?
That's a very complicated subject, and now we are entering a little bit into the subject, which I told you that is not so easy to explain. But I will not go into the whole detail here because we don't have much time. But basically, there are a lot of factions behind what's going on and in what's going on. There are a lot of even cabals, multiple cabals working here at operation and fighting among themselves. There is a lot of infighting. So the Trump, as Aneka actually explained, Aneka is another contact that we have. As Aneka explained to us just recently, according to the data that they have at their disposal right now, Trump seems to be working for the, let's call it, less negative faction, of the controllers. However, in the end, it's all in the hands of the same controllers, and those controllers are the Galactic Federation itself. So that's a very, very complicated subject. But the Trump seems to be working for the opposition, for the less negative, less genocide, not satanist part of the controllers.
That's okay, because we are aware that there's two factions left out of the five. Sure, and one faction is the Black Sun faction. The other faction is the Rockefeller Rothschilds. And obviously Trump is on the fence and he's trying to please everybody. And this is what we're told. And that obviously you can't serve two masters. You can only serve one master. And hopefully he's going to serve the people and the alt media and not the actual... Because, you know, one faction is not better than another. They both want control, and you just want to be in charge of the planet. So although one might be better than the other in a little bit of way, they're just fighting each other for control over the planet. But let's hope that that changes. Right, we got another question from Jim. And Jim wants to know, and I'll ask both of you this question, start off with you, Gosher. Jim wants to know, question, what is the length of your physical life? Now, obviously... this, because the energies are coming into the planet, one of the things that I was told was that the energies are going to elongate the lifespan of humanity and we're going to live longer. So that's a kind of good question from Jim. What is the length of our physical life at the moment?
Our physical lifetime? Or theirs?
No, and what is the length of... Sorry, what is the length of their physical life? Yeah, sorry.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay. Also, here it must be mentioned that the time is viewed a bit differently over there. It's semi-linear. It's not exactly the same. It's not calculated in the same way. But actually, they do live up to 1,000 years. Many races live even to a few thousand years. But they get this. They choose, because when you die, you basically choose to move on. So you choose to live to about 1,000. But it's calculated. It's calculated according to our earthly calculations. I'm not sure how it translates there exactly. And I must say also, they do not really get old as here, so they remain looking very young for all this time. Unless you want to look older, you can always control how you look.
Well, I suppose being that you're on 5D frequency and you're going to be crystalline rather than carbon based, you can change your appearance to wherever you want.
Well, to change your appearance to wherever you want once you are already in the humanoid body, that would not be as easy unless you are operating from higher than 5D state of consciousness, which actually is something that Svaru is able to do. But the Taygetan Pleiadians, while they are in their Taygetan Pleiadians bodies, they remain in those bodies. And until they disconnect and they go to source, and from the other side, they just consciously decide to continue living as Taygetans, come back as Taygetans, or any other race. Because remember, we are not just belonging to one specific race or place in the universe, in the galaxy. We are the source itself, and we have been many races, and we have lived many incarnations on all different planets and different places. So we are not just limited to one.
Okay, that's fine. And Dale, what's your comment on the length of their physical life? Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's basically as she said. It runs anywhere, typically, if you want to put it in linear terms, between 900 and 1,200 years, as I was always told. Again, it is relative to them, not necessarily to 3D Earth. And nobody there dies, really. All you do is you get to the point where you either get tired of that particular existence in that form and wish to move on or not, but so you just simply move to a higher density or a different body. If a physical human such as myself on the ship in 5D wanted to transform, I'd have to go into a med pod for 6 weeks or a couple of months, and changes could be programmed and made there, but it's not like we're shapeshifters or anything like that. So obviously you don't just change and, oops, there I am, something different. When you get to where little sister Svaru is at and you're 7D and higher, then that can be done at will. She can be pure energy if she feels, or anything at all she wishes to do. And so, you know, even that is considerably far above where the 5D Taygetans are. Now, our ship is in a 5D bubble as it orbits Earth, and all the crew and everyone there is in 5D. So the frequency is considerably higher, and that must be dealt with if they were to come here or vice versa. So, you know, but the lifespan is essentially you get to the point where you have a choice. You can choose how long you wish to be around, how long you wish to live.
Okay.
Something very interesting and something very curious. Sorry, Dale, just to add to what you were saying, and actually it's actually a comment. It's actually a comment from Aneka herself, who, surprise, is listening to our show, and I actually have her online right now.
Oh,
and
cool.
She has listened to your and she heard your comment, Alan, about the crystalline based.
Yeah.
And she's saying we are carbon based, not crystalline. That's new age.
Okay, that's interesting, because we hear about the ascension process where they talk about the change from carbon based to crystalline, and that's just being
a misnomer.
Okay.
We are biological beings. Just remember that we have been distorted. So much information has been distorted by the New Age. They are not fluffy, you know, rainbow balls, orbs floating around. They are not angels. They are people like us. And like she said here, we are carbon-based, not crystalline. That's New Age. That's exact words from her now.
Okay.
They're people exactly like us. They look just like us.
Yeah.
They can walk among us, and you would never know. And so forth, but they're so tired of everybody blowing smoke about this New Age thing, which all began in like the 60s, and as essentially the New Age was begun by the Vatican. It has nothing to do with all the hype and everything else. So they are another race of physical beings. They are definitely in 5D, and they can experience even 7D, but they choose to be in 5D at this point. That is where they are, where they serve.
Yes.
But outside of not being able to eat our food or drink our water or anything that is 3D, if they were here, they'd use a frequency belt and surround themselves. But they definitely couldn't eat our food and drink our water or stay for any length of time.
Okay.
Exactly. And what they always say is what we feel 5D beings are, that's usually 70. That's 70. Okay.
Exactly.
What people think the 5D beings are, that's 7D. That's beyond 5D. 5D is people.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. Right, we have a few people are beginning to load in their questions now in the chat room, so I think we'll have to get to the quick fire round where we just show them over to you and you give us a one or two line answer so we can get through them all. Okay, right, okay, Ramos wants to know for Dale, I'll go throw this off to you, Dale, and then Ghost, you can comment on it. He said he wants to know, what do you think of the Sintamani stones?
I have no clue.
That's fine. We'll go to the next question. That's fine. If you don't know it, we'll move on. That's fine. Peter wants to know, what is the most powerful geometric shape? If I wanted to make up a resin mix of shungite and set it in a mold, I have 6 kilos here from the Russian mine. I already made a few different shapes. Do you know what the most powerful geometric shape is?
I'm going to ask Aleta right now. Let's see if she can answer. Dale, do you know?
I can see it in my head. I'm not sure if it's called a mandala or there is this particular shape that Swaru and I have discussed many times, a Merkaba. Using that particular shape, it is how the resonance is achieved for a like the ship's engines and the bubble which surrounds the ship and so forth and so on. So a Merkaba is the preferred shape to my knowledge. Okay, I may be wrong. And also, quick acknowledgement, like to say hello, Sister Annika. Thanks for joining us. I always like to let her know. Appreciate that she's here.
Yeah, she's not responding right now. I'm waiting, but Merkaba could be the right answer. Go to the videos about exactly how how their engines and how their ships and how their navigation works in detail, technical detail, when they describe that Merkaba technology used in their engines.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we have a question from Starlight on the chat room, and she wants to know, a question for Gosher. When we reach the peak of the ascension, will our memory of past lives return as well?
Yes, definitely. I think, yes. Normally, in 5D, they remember more or less 3 past incarnations. But there are other people who are more advanced, like Svaru, who remembers many, many, many more. But on the average, in 5D, they remember 3 incarnations back. So I think once we are fully 5D activated, we would start to remember more and more, definitely.
Okay. Dale, do you want to comment on that?
I agree. Same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Tash wants to know, question, what is the purpose behind the coronavirus? What was it designed to make people do?
Oh, my God.
We have so many videos about that. Let's not even go there because this is going to be another can of worms.
It's going to be a 2-hour question.
Oh, my God. Well, actually, they are actually telling us, listen to this, it's actually all false flag. There is no virus. They actually did a testing. They actually, with their ship, they did the testing on the so-called virus, and there is nothing. There is nothing. It's very, very, very connected with the 5G, and there's a lot of propaganda going on, but it's not biologically constructed in the lab. It's not released to the public. Why? Because the cabal, what it wants is control. And if they release a real virus, they will lose the control. And they cannot afford that. What they can do is control how the propaganda affects the people and when it finishes and when it starts and in what areas. So with the real virus released, they would lose that control.
Okay.
It's all propaganda, all media control.
It's all psychological, and people are falling for it.
People that we know that say they died from it or this and that and the other things, I guarantee you that they may have died from something. It was not coronavirus. They can tell us anything, but we don't have any real proof. Even the so-called testing is an improper method of testing. And they do this, a lot of reasoning is because Medicaid, Medicare, and other insurances are paying off handsomely on anything related to COVID-19. And so someone could die from anything, and they just add to that death certificate complications from COVID-19, and boom, everything gets paid. So we could go on and on and on about this, but follow the money. Follow the money, and you will begin to see everything, and there is more than a dozen reasons for COVID-19.
Yes.
Enough said. Okay.
Yeah, follow the money. Okay, Gosha, do you want to comment?
I did.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, next question. Jim wants to know, I kind of got part of this question. I think the question is, are they allowed, as in the Pleiadians, to interfere with any of the races on Earth?
I'm not sure I understood right.
Sorry, can you say that again? Your audio went a bit funny there.
Oh, can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, the question is, are the Pleiadians, I assume he's talking about the Pleiadians, are they allowed to interfere with any of the races on Earth?
With any of the human races?
The human races, yes.
No, like we said before, they are not allowed to directly interfere. They are helping, they are assisting, but it's all done behind their backs. However, with the subject of federation, that's a completely different game here. And if you are interested in how much the federation is involved in human affairs, and it is, then please watch my channel, Cosmic Agency. I have quite a few videos recently about the Galactic Federation, and you'll be surprised.
Okay.
Hours of material, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll get all your details at the end of the show, all right? We'll do that. Jim also has a question there. He says, do they live in family groups, have sex, children, the same way as humans do, and educate? Who educates the children?
Yeah, I can only speak for our race, because we know more about those. However, I also will make videos about different specific races. But yes, they have families, they are very romantic, they fall in love, they are sexual, they eat, they go to the bathroom, and they do all kinds of things that us humans do. I am talking about Taygetans. There are other races that are not humanoid, not Lyrian races, that might differ here and there.
Okay. That's...
But they do very much everything in conventionality. They have adopted our language. They have adopted our words in some cases and conform so that when they give us information that people could understand it.
Okay, and if somebody wants to have an experience or meet them or communicate, I know you said earlier on that there's only a few of them up there and, you know, everybody's asking the same question. But it seems to me that you get people who are involved in the movement, they're involved in waking people up, and they get no communication, and you get people who are in the Matrix who aren't even bothered, and they get communicated to by ETs or a race or something, and you think, how does that work out?
I know, it's very frustrating. I have lived my life, I'm 42 years old now, but I have been always asking and begging for the extraterrestrial races to communicate with me, and I have asked the same question: how come they are having communication and not me? Now I'm asking the opposite question: why me? Why I don't understand, how did I deserve this? So it can happen at any point. Also, some people are not in necessity to have this communication. They told us that some people are doing so fine on their own that they don't need any specific communication. Also, it depends on your prenatal agreements. So you could have set yourself up to have your life without any communication from your tribe, from your cosmic stellar family. So there are different reasons that we don't see.
Okay. We have about 15 minutes left, so I just want to kind of focus on what's the situation for the next 6 months, if not to the end of 2021. What have you been told is coming down the line? Is there anything that you can tell us?
It's so much, you know, in the air. There's so many timelines still working themselves out. It all will depend on the collective and how the collective reacts to what's happening, you know, how it unites. They are telling us very, very important for people to unite and unite their perception, because actually what has happened is that timelines have fractured. As Baruch has explained this to us, there's so many different ideas about what's happening. And actually, if you look at it from the most expanded perspective, all of them being real, because all of them are specific timelines. So now our challenge is to unite and to try to unite our perspective and to decide collectively what it is that we want. what it is that we want, also based on what we see that we don't want. That's very important, because the Galactic Federation is supposed to, by law, give to the collective what they ask for and what they want. So it's very important for us now to decide collectively what we want. And on based on that, the future will depend. So it's not set in stone. No future day is ever set in stone. And by the way, I'm just having a response from Aneka. Merkaba, yes, it's a most powerful geometric shape.
Oh, that's confirmation. Okay. And I'll pass the question over to you, Dale. Orsi on the chat wants to know, are we ever going to have an official force contact, i.e. a landing on the planet?
One of the aspects of our crew's mission and Swaru's mission was during the first contact, which actually started as early as 1952 with Sister Rochelle. But in any case, one of the contact's missions starting from 2008 was to assess the cabal and the reptilian situation and whether or not humanity was actually ready for physical contact. Unfortunately, while the cabal and the reptilian situation was found not to be such a major threat or actually to be any big deal at all, they did kindly come to the conclusion that humanity is not ready for mass contact at this time. And so what I will add to that is that I must try and express that contact or the actual disclosure is a personal event. All right. The act of proof, for example, everybody wants proof, 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 proof. We get that all the time. Proof is individual. And very quickly, I'll tell it to you like this. If my family or any other group were to land in your backyard tonight, and they came in, you invited them into your home, you all sat down, you had dinner, you spoke for hours, they told you all the secrets of the universe, answered all your questions, they got back in their ship and they left, you would then have your proof. So my question to you would be, who can you tell? All right? And that is the problem. So if they only give it in small amounts, then still you have no one that you can tell is going to believe you. If they were to come en masse and show the entire world, there would be those that are sleeping, those that are unawake, those that are unwilling to accept, and it could provoke mass hysteria. So it's kind of a situation of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So we feel that at this time, humanity must learn to control its own impulses, must learn to stand up and ask for what they want. They are not to just take things on the face like we've been doing. And when we finally learn to accept one another, love one another, communicate with one another, and stand up for what we want, we then might be in a position to be able to accept actual contact from many races, not just our own.
Hmm. That goes back to what I said earlier about the child mind and the human, the adult mind. We need to get to the adult mind. All of us need to get to there. And only until then, and the adult mind again is respect for each other and love for each other and service to others. You know, I know it's a cliche and I keep saying it on the other shows that I do, but it's the same thing. We all need to reach the adult mind, because if humanity was there, we'd be a mature race. We wouldn't need government. We wouldn't need laws, because we'd be responsible for our actions and what we do.
If every man, woman, and child, real people that is, were to stand up today and say, enough is enough, we want change and we want it now, it would happen instantly. It's just getting to the point where we get enough people to do that. And I'd also like to make a quick comment on your child mind. Child mind, I understand exactly what you're saying and agree. However, there is something good to be said for the child mind. Hmm. Child mind is also a wondrous mind, an explorative mind, and a lot of humanity's willingness to accept, believe, explore, and grow comes from child mind. So the two must be integrated and integrated well. Right now, we tend to look at them as separate entities.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay, Aaron wants to know, I'll throw this over to Gosher. Again, trying to quick throw in the questions there. Aaron wants to know, is the Prime Directive not real? Because I never asked, or do not recall asking for my CE5 experience. So he's obviously had an experience, and he feels himself that he didn't ask for it. But then I would say go back to your soul contract. Maybe in your mind you didn't ask for it, but that could have been in your soul contract before you came here.
Of course, there's so much going on behind what we perceive ourselves to be and what we don't see. We are multidimensional beings, and there's so much more to us. As Varua, I don't remember, I think as Varua once said, is our physical incarnation is like we are stepping into the car. So we are stepping into the car, but we actually had life before stepping into that car. Then we are driving for a while, we are then, and then we are stepping out of it again to continue our life. So that the portion of our physical incarnation here is like that small portion of us driving down the road somewhere and doing something. But actually there is a whole life around that and purpose that we are not seeing. Our souls are these huge, magnificent beings that have been evolving for many incarnations. So we don't know so much about the purpose of it all. So we just must trust. If we had that experience, if that person had that experience, I would be grateful and just trust that it happened for a good reason.
Okay. I'm going to get a question in very quick here. Dale, I'll pass this over to you. Jim wants to know, he said, last question. He said, are the reptilians or any ET race interfering with the reincarnation process?
There are races that are not aligned with Federation. There are races that are somewhat malevolent toward humanity, and they have their own agendas, and so therefore they are not under direct control, and they do interfere. Yes.
What was the question again? I'm sorry. Do the races interfere with reincarnation?
Yeah. Do the reptilians or any ET race interfere with reincarnation process?
No. I must say something that Svaru always stresses. You are always free, and the only thing that limits you is your own ideas. So many times after death, what's happening that we are carrying these limiting ideas of giving our power over to exterior reality or entity with us after death. So when that kind of entity appears, whatever, it's only trying to tell us something to go back, whatever. But us are going back, are doing that, reincarnating, because we are believing that that entity has the power over us. When it doesn't, we are always choosing freely. And we are free to go on after death wherever we wish to go. That's what they always teach us. And as they always tell us, there are no Archon traps. There are no, special karma councils telling us where we are supposed to go after we die. It's always us. It's always us, and we are always free. If it doesn't seem so, it's because we are living under the illusion that we are not free. But we are. It's like that elephant or a horse that is attached to the chair, thinking he is attached to the chair, so it doesn't move. Mm. Where in fact it's much stronger than that string that attaches it to the chair. So Svaru and Taygetans are trying to free us from all these limiting ideas. Karma is another limiting idea. It's something that we impose upon ourselves, but our souls are always free. So I would say no. There is nothing that interferes with anything.
Thank
you for clarifying that for me, Gosha. But what I'm relating to or alluding to is that if we have those limiting ideas, there are those that would use that as a loophole
yes,
and exactly. definitely take advantage of that yes. situation.
Yes.
Okay.
So it is, but yes, you're absolutely right. We do have absolute free choice. The problem is that we have been taught here, most people have been taught from birth, that they don't have the free choice, and yeah. that if they do this or do that, they're going to go to hell or so forth and so on. And those are the wrong teachings. Drop your karma, get rid of it. You don't need it. You stop playing the game. Remember, you have a choice, and where you want to go is where you will go. But do not allow the others that will use that loophole to take you to other places. You're in control.
Okay, what about that's going to upset some people. So very quickly, last question, I'll say, when you say you've no karma, what about these people who are doing mass murders and stuff like that? Surely they have to have, because I see karma as like an energy boomerang. If you put negative energy out, it'll come back to you. Good energy out, it'll come back. So surely these people have to be responsible for that negative energy if they're hurting other people.
You see, here we have to take into the account that Svaru is a 7D and higher starseed in 5D, where she is looking at different phenomena from different perspectives and angles at the same time, something that I'm actually talking about a lot in my videos all the time. If not, people get confused. So she's talking about higher than 5D, higher than 3D, non-dualistic reality, from where there is no right and wrong, from there is no karma as we understand it, even from within 3D and 5D. She always tells us that karma is like monopoly money. It's only valid within the realms of the game. And from where she's standing, the 5D even is a sort of a game. And that game is ruled by certain rules and agreements. And one of those is karma. But so it is valid, and it could be applicable, but only within the realms of the game you are playing. But once you become free, and once you understand you are actually a living entity, living soul, a source, holographic part of the source that lives and originates beyond the dualistic realm, where there is no white and black, where there is no right and wrong. It's all perspectives and different interests. So from that perspective, you understand that there is no karma. You have to understand it from that perspective.
Okay.
But within our game, it could be valid.
Okay, no, that's fine. But listen, I have to finish up there, I'm afraid. Thank you very much for coming on, Gosha and Dale. It was brilliant information, and the people in the chat room want to do a part two. Maybe in a few months' time, if you come on again, we'll do a part two, and then we can go over the energies after July, maybe, and have a talk about it and see what happened. But a big thank you for coming on. Can you give out, Gosha, give out your links, your website, your YouTube page. Let people know where they can find you so they can see more of your information.
Sure, and thank you very much for the opportunity to share more of our information. I'm always very happy and enthusiastic about sharing what we know. I love what we are learning, and I'm very happy to share this with you and your listeners. So the channel is Cosmic Agency. You can find all the videos there. I recommend starting from the beginning because it's like there is a line of information there. The website actually right now is worked on. It's zvaru.org, but it's like I'm saying, it's in the construction, but I will be putting all the transcripts in Spanish and English and in other languages on that website very soon.
Brilliant. Dale, do you want to give out your details there?
I actually don't have any website or anything. I just, practice the service. I work with Gosha. I can be reached through my company emails, the two companies that I own, which is HHR Exotic Speakers and or H&H Research. And that's you can easily Google those on the web, and you send me an email or something in that way. If I can, I will respond. But as I said, we do get thousands of emails, and sometimes it's just impossible to reach and respond to everyone.
Okay, that's fine.
So
that's
please forgive us for that, for everybody. You know, we do read the stuff, but we just can't. We don't have the time and the ability to respond to everyone.
No, that's fine. I appreciate that. All right, Gosha and Dale, thank you very much for coming on the show. Much appreciated. Brilliant information. And we'll definitely do a part two in the bag in a few months' time. Just stay with me there for a minute. I'm just going to go off to a musical break, and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
So there you go, folks. That was Gosher and Dale Harder talking about the Taygeta Palladians who they're involved with. And some great information there, really good information. And again, you know, entertain the thought without accepting it, as we always say, the Aristotle quote. But good information and so much going on the planet. And I was doing a bit of research during the week, as I always do. And just three different people who obviously maybe don't know each other were all saying the same thing about the energies hitting the planet and ramping up to the end of July. And then you have the QHHT people who are talking about July, August as being major. Now, if it is a case that Mercury is in retrograde, then we're going to have a bit of a nutty few weeks, probably 2 or 3 weeks, you know. I know some people are thinking it's going to go on to the end of the year, but I think the main part of the retrograde will be probably about around the 13th and 15th of July, something like that. So things not working, things breaking, people arguing with each other and all that kind of stuff. If that's not happening now, then it's going to be happening. We are in for some hell of a ride in July, apparently. So hold on to your trousers. So it's interesting that all this is happening. And we said 2020 being the year of, 2020 vision. 2020 vision and things coming out. And the red pilling that's going on around the planet and people waking up is phenomenal. And then, you know, go over and have a look at the human frequency. I mean, it's off the charts, you know, so there's something major going on. There's the equipment actually showing it. So I would say to people to kind of end the show with the information that we got off Gosher and Dale. And people talk to me about, you know, negative thoughts and the 5D and all that kind of stuff. And I would just say to people that a thought carries energy. And as Dale said, the words that you say are very important. And I know we're human and we make mistakes and we F and B and, you know, things happen. You know, it's just the way it is. We're just human nature, you know. But what if you had a virtual wand, a magic wand, a virtual wand, and I'm going to give everybody a virtual wand. And what you do is maybe after the show, or maybe sometime during the week, you sit down for 10 or 15 minutes with this virtual wand and you focus on what you want to happen in your life, the things that want to come into your life, the things that you want to see, the society that you want to see. And you wave that virtual magic wand and you focus on the things that you want to bring in. And I know it's a bit like The Secret, but, you know, thinking of something and thinking of good things doesn't actually cost anything. You know, so, and I do it all the time. I'm sitting down and I might have a cup of tea and I might just close my eyes and I go, what if I put the thought out there? You know, I'd like this to happen or I'd like that to happen. The manifestation energy is getting quicker and faster. Apparently, this is what they're saying as well. So if you want things to change and manifest, then focus on that. You'll pick up people's energies as well. You want to be around people who have the same frequency as you. You don't want people pulling down your energy because that's not good for you. So, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of the time, friends and family who are not tuned in can be the people that might do that. So it's up to you what you do because you're in control of your life and who you associate with. So higher energies is where you need to be and the higher thought process. If anything comes in negative into your mind, like a slideshow, like a PowerPoint slideshow, change the slide. Like a TV, change the channel. And always have a kind of happy place that you can go to in your mind. Think of something that happened in your life that was really enjoyable, that was funny, that you enjoyed, that was a great time. That should be always your go-to place where you go to. So if you're in a situation where it's not great, focus on that happy place. Focus on that time you had great fun and that brings your energy up. You know, because each thought is, it carries energy. And that's what we have to do. I mean, even the simple thing that I do, and I know some people do it, and I do it. You know, if I'm going shopping and I need a parking space, and it's not too bad with the COVID virus now because a lot of people don't really go with shopping. But if I'm going to a shopping center and I want to, you know, I want to make sure I have a parking space, I put it out there. I want a parking space. And 9 times out of 10, there's one there, or else I turn up and somebody is backing out and then I drive in. You know, it's amazing. And if you haven't seen the DVD, The Secret, go and have a look at that, because that's quite interesting where the examples they use of people using their mind over matter. It's quite interesting. So I just think that we are more powerful than people realize, and we need to focus our energy more. And we need to, we are creators. That's the problem with the cabal. They cannot create. These just ET races. I think that's why humans are so unique, because we can create. Other races cannot create. They can just copy, but where we can actually create. So we should use them talents and create and focus and manifest and put out there the life and the society that you want to be in. And maybe just people in your life that you don't want to see ever. So maybe you have to just say to the universe, I don't want to see them. I don't want them in my life. Because that's kind of happening as well. There's people who have, they just kind of fade into the background. You know they're there, but you haven't seen them in a while. And you probably don't want to see them, and you don't want to ring them and stuff like that. You know, so it's obviously happening already. Now, I'm going to be getting a couple of people on the show in a few weeks' time. And we're going to be talking about this change that's going on. Now, next week, I'm hoping to have Major George A. Filer III, retired USAF, New Jersey State Director, MUFON East Region Director. We're having a few problems with George and the emails. So I'm hoping to have him on next week, fingers crossed, if we get the technology sorted. But if he doesn't come on, I'll guarantee you we'll have another guest on for next week. For myself, Alan James, I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to everybody who logged in the chat room and got involved and asked questions. Sorry if I didn't get to your question. Thanks to everybody there. And thanks for all your support and your donations as well. There's a couple of projects on, in the pipeline. If you want to go over to the website and click on the Pay It Forward, you'll see the projects that I'm currently working on and the projects that we have donated to. And there's a couple of more in the pipeline, which I'm sorting out. But for myself, Alan James, have a good week. If you have any information or links of interest, send them over to me. I'd be glad to have a look at them there. Take care. Have a good week. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleOfWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.